Welcome to Grand Final Week on the Rugby League Guru Podcast. We've got the Gurus picking the Melbourne Storm, taking on the 17 in a row, the high-flying Penrith Panthers. It's going to be a massive week on the podcast. This is the only podcast you need this week. We are going to have content falling out of our ass. Stay tuned. It's going to be a massive one. Let's kick it off.
And now the ball, away they go again. Pappenhausen! Oh, this is a dream! Ryan
Pappenhausen. Here's a clear in from the 40. Oh, he's got plenty of weight on. Scored for Melbourne.
Kickout! Yes, sir! Kickout slams it down and the Panthers have hit the front.
Welcome back to the Rugby League Guru Podcast. Today I've got another instalment of Fan is Short for Fanatic, and I've got one fanatic on that I'm really stoked to have on finally. Willie, he's been a guy that he's followed me from day one, and we've had a lot of conversations over the last year or two, and thankfully we think pretty similarly, so we've had some pretty good conversations, very few arguments, very few disagreements, but he's been a champion bloke. He's a proper Melbourne Storm fan, so as you all know, you know, I've liked Melbourne all year, so we've had a lot of positive conversations this year. He's a real honest, raw bloke, shows a lot of emotion, and I absolutely loved having him on. Obviously, you know, I see my podcast as being, you know, the podcast for the fans. Obviously, I'm having all of you guys on to come and tell your story. Obviously, we've had, you know, John earlier this week to tell his story as a Panthers fan. We've had Willie on to tell his story as a Storm fanatic. Anyone else out there that's keen to share their story, please slip into my DMs and let's arrange something during the off-season. I'd love to hear all your stories. Let's kick off Willie's story now. Willie, welcome on, mate. How are we?
Well, thanks, mate. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Nah, mate, it's a pleasure. I know you've been a follower for quite some time. We've had a few yarns over the last year or so, haven't we?
Yeah, a lot. I always enjoy listening to your stuff, and I appreciate you having me on.
Mate, I could think of worse times to be a Melbourne Storm fan. It's pretty good at the moment.
It's pretty good, mate. It's a lot of people always say to me, oh, it must be nice, but it is nice, but I'm just enjoying it for while we can, and hopefully in the next coming years, I think we'll be hitting the rebuild stage, so I'm just enjoying it while I can, mate.
Jeez, I don't know if any team with Harry Grant about to walk into it is going to be in a rebuild just quietly. I think you're being modest there.
You know what, mate? It's funny. My mates in my Supercoach comp, I was bragging on Harry Grant all last year, all this year, and a lot of them are like, mate, you and the guru bloke have been on the same wavelength. And I said, I'm telling you, this kid is the real deal. So I'm glad you mentioned Harry Grant, because me and you were kind of on the same wavelength for a long time.
Mate, you don't want to be on my wavelength. Believe me, it's a miracle you got mates then.
Nah, it's working out well for me, mate.
Yeah, no, mate, Harry Grant, though, he looks special for you guys over the next few years. Mate, take me back to your first, you know, your earliest memory as a Melbourne Storm fan.
Yeah, so I didn't really follow teams. I followed players. So back in the day, growing up, I was a Mormon. So my youth leader at the time was Kylie Luluai. He used to play for Manly, big time prop. And so I followed Manly partially because of him, but I also loved Scotty Hill. So I followed Scotty Hill early 2000s. And that's what kind of linked me to the Storm around 2005. I just liked the way he played. He was real flamboyant. He was tough for a skinny fella, but Scotty Hill was the player for me that dragged me towards the Storm.
Mate, Scott Hill, it's funny, like back in the day when he was playing, there was obviously Scott Hill, your Jimmy Dimmicks, your Brad Fittlers, all these, you know, really good ball players that could jump in at 13 and hit like a Mack truck. And then we sort of went away from that with the lock forward for a little bit. We sort of went to a third front rower, and now you're seeing these Victor Radleys, Brandon Smith, they're all starting to come back into fashion now, aren't they?
Yeah, 100%. So I reckon Scotty Hill would be really good for this day and age in footy. So it's sad to see that it kind of went away from how he played for a time of a feud, but I'm glad it's coming back now. Which, he was probably my favourite player growing up in the early stages of the Melbourne Storm days.
Mate, those early stages, you played in a few grand finals. Then I remember 2006, I was there when you lost to Brisbane. Scotty Hill was playing in that one. Do you remember that game?
Yeah, I don't want to remember it, mate, but I do sadly remember it. It was I know we'll talk about it later, but I think 2006 and 2016 were probably the two ones I thought we should have won. But they kind of just got away from us. So, yeah, it was a sad one, that one.
Mate, a year later, though, 2007, you take on the Manly Seagulls, and what a win. Greg Inglis, he was sensational that day.
He was, yeah. Inglis was awesome. The thing that I just always remember Cam Smith had a shocker with the boot, and he said a prayer, I think, with his last conversion. So that's what I remember. I just remember playing really, really well, and we dominated Manly. And then obviously the year after was a completely different story.
Yeah, geez, the year after wasn't pretty, was it? Of course, people remember Cameron Smith was suspended for that game. Cooper Cronk steps up and captains them, and fuck me, it was a shit fight, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I just remember watching till half time, and I think that was probably the first game I probably contemplated turning off. But I went the whole distance, and then obviously seeing, I think Israel Folau was probably the first person I saw cry when we lost. So that was a pretty tough one to swallow. And then obviously the year after got a little better as well.
Mate, I remember being at that 08 grand final. I remember I was sort of at the Manly end watching, and I remember when Steve Menzies scored that try, Jesus Christ, I almost went deaf. The noise they made was unbelievable.
Manly played really well that game. You can't really take anything away from them. I think that was probably prime Manly too. So to lose to a strong Manly side is never an embarrassment, I guess.
And mate, I guess during that time as well, like the rivalry that you two had, if Manly were playing Melbourne, you simply couldn't miss it. No matter if it was a grand final, if it was round two, it didn't matter. You had to be there for it, didn't you?
100%. Especially after that one, I think it kind of got a little tight. Obviously, the Battle of Brookie was a couple of years after that, with Adam Blair and Glenn Stewart going at it. And then I think the most nerve-wracking Manly Melbourne game, I think after that, was probably the prelim of 2012. I was really, really nervous for this one. I thought they were going to get over us, and then they just came out and were terrible and completely flat. And I just remember we put it on them, and then obviously led to 2012 grand final. But yeah, every Manly Melbourne game has been awesome.
Was that game against Manly, mate? Was that the one where Billy Slater put on an absolute show?
Yeah, that was the one. I think he takes it off the scrum, and he runs about 70, and he's got Fozzer chasing him behind him. Will Chambers, I think, cuts down the right side as well and hits Cronk on the inside. And then Cronk kind of dummies and goes himself and scores as well. It was probably the one I was most nervous about out of all the Manly Melbourne games, and we kind of dominated. So it was a big relief.
Mate, after that 2008 grand final, of course, 2009 rolls around, and you know, the whole season we're sitting around just watching Jared Hayne just set the world alight that season. He was incredible. You end up meeting them in the grand final, and on my podcast a few weeks ago with Brett Finch, he spoke about that, you know, what Melbourne do best is they take away their best weapon, and you did that to Hainsey, didn't you?
Yeah, 100%. I listened to that podcast. It was interesting to see, like, all they wanted to do was just attack him. So a lot of teams were just kind of watching Hainsey, you know, giving him the space and the time. And I guess in that one, we did completely shut him down. I don't think we did anything that game. But that was a good game. It was a bit of a heart attack towards the end when before we scored in the corner.
Jesus, so what about that try?
Yeah, that was a heart attack one. But that was a good game. I remember the English try just off the high bomb. That was a good one. But the 40-40 one, that kind of made me a little nervous.
Mate, obviously 2010 rolls around, and you know, Melbourne Storm, they're looking to defend their premiership. They've definitely got a side that can do it, and then heartbreak hits. Tell me about that day you found out about the salary cap scandal.
Yeah, so I was at work. And my boss was a big Tigers fan, and he runs in and he goes, "Mate, you need to come watch the TV in the lunchroom." I run in and I just see David Gallup's face. I didn't really read the title one. I just remember looking in his face, and everybody was looking at me because the whole office knew I went for the Storm. And then it obviously was like, you know, we're stripping minor premierships, we're stripping premierships. And I don't think it really hit me until probably when I was on the bus home. I had a lot of people, I didn't have any headphones on at the time, and a lot of people were just talking about how the Storm were filthy cheaters and all of that. And then that's when it kind of hit me. And then I guess the next day, I kind of took the walk of shame. I wore my Storm jersey to work, so I caught the bus to work that day, and I had a lot of people give me slack for it. But, you know, that's just what you do when you support your team.
It, obviously, they carried that sort of... Well, I mean, let's be honest here. They're still carrying that fucking cheaters tag with some people, I guess. I mean, yeah. I see it on every post that I put up involving the Melbourne Storm. How have you dealt with that as a true fan?
I don't know, because depends on the argument, I guess. If I'm talking about premierships, I like to bring up 7 and 9 because I really think they deserved it, but then the credibility's gone and a lot of friends will be like, no, look, mate, that's got stripped. You can't count them as premierships, which I guess we can't. My friends are okay with it. I don't really take it too personally now. I used to get in a lot of online arguments with people calling us cheaters and that, but now it's know, what we did the year after kind of just shows what club we are. Like 2011, we get stripped of, literally have nobodies. We have journeymen in our team, Adam Warnow, Brian Norrie, all these type of players, and then Jesse Bromwich steps up, Kim Proctor steps up, and then we make a prelim, we win the minor premiership. So I guess that's what makes me proud of being a Storm fan, just the way we reacted to it.
And mate, of course, you know, around all these journeymen, you have got the big three, and in my opinion, I don't think we're ever going to see three better players in the same team ever. I don't care if it's rep, whatever it may be. Those three, they just gelled better than anyone ever has or anyone ever will.
100%. I was actually having this discussion with a mate of mine the other day, and I'll pass the question on to you. That's why they were actually combined from 2007 to 2017, right? So 10 years. Do you think personally they underachieved?
To some extent, I do, yeah. I especially think during that 2013 to 2000, you know, there was 13, 14, and 15 where they didn't appear in a grand final. And personally, I think they definitely should have during that period. I think 2016, I would have liked to have seen them win that premiership too. I mean, it's fantastic to see the Sharks win, but like the Sharks just hang in there off grit. I thought the Melbourne Storm were the better team that year. So, yeah, mate, I would agree they have underachieved, but I mean, 2009 was taken off them. 2010 was taken off them. Essentially, 2011 that they did well. 2012 was the one, and I don't know how you feel, but that sums up who the Melbourne Storm are for me.
Yeah, 2011, 2012 is the way we hit back. Like we hit back with the minor premiership. We obviously choked against the Warriors in the prelim, and then 2012 we win it all. But like I said, like in 10 years they won two premierships. Well, they won four, got two taken away from them. So in my mind, I think if you go to any other sport, like if you go to NBA and you have, let's say, three of the top five players for 10 years, you want to win three out of three or four or five championships, right? So that's why in my mind, it kind of sucks because, like you said, we're not going to have a trio like that ever again.
And especially in key positions like that, like you're never going to have, like it's like in an NFL team, if you had the best quarterback, the best left tackle, and the best running back, like you shouldn't be losing any of those games. And that's what the Melbourne Storm had. They had the halfback, the hooker, and the fullback. Like it just, you cannot beat that.
100%. So it kind of, sometimes I get like 2016 one really, really hurts because I really think we should have won that one. I thought that was ours to lose. And obviously, Fifita gets that freakish try, but. What can you do, eh?
Yeah, I mean, 2016, as I said, I must say, I was really happy to see the Sharks win. You know, they'd been toiling away for so long. But, I mean, so in that 10-year period, how many comps did they win then? They won 2012 and 2017.
2012 and 2017.
Yeah, mate, underachieved by a mile.
Yeah, and that's what upsets me, I guess. But I'll tell you, I will tell you a funny story about 2016 Grand Final. So, from 2007 to 2016, I had been to, I don't know the exact number, but it was about 65 live Storm games. Yep. I had never seen them lose, ever.
Wow.
So 65 odd games, I'd never seen them lose. The first game I took my wife to was the 2016 Grand Final. And then after then, I said to my wife, you're never coming to any more games ever.
I assume
ever
you mean again. Your ex-wife, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I should have signed the papers that night. But yeah, that's like I had the best. Like all my mates knew about it, and they were like, "Dude, you're gonna have to see them lose one day." And I said, "It's not happening. It's not happening." And I decided to take my wife to 2016 Grand Final, and then that happens.
Crazy, unbelievable, mate. Heartbreak. After that 2016 Grand Final, a year later, you know, it's another weird sort of season. I mean, the Melbourne Storm do their normal thing; they make their way through to the Grand Final, and here are the Cowboys. They lose JT halfway through the year, and you know, it's over for them. They can't go any further. And then all of a sudden, Taumalolo really emerges and he dominates that comp. And Michael Morgan just goes to a new level and they manage to scrape into the grand final. And it's one of those games I remember thinking, geez, Melbourne should win this by 40, but it's a real danger game because the Cowboys shouldn't have won their last four or five games realistically. And they just kept finding a way, didn't they?
Yeah, 100%. For mine, as long as I've been following the Melbourne Storm, I think that was our greatest side ever, that 2017 side, based on win-loss record, based on the players that we had. Like we had like Brandon Smith, Brody Croft, all of these young fellas on Jerome Hughes, they were all on, like, you know, when our big boys wanted a break, we would start these guys, and these guys did the exact same job as the main boys. But that grand final, I said to myself, when we lost to them in 2016, I said to myself, the Storm always bounce back of a grand final loss with a win. So I knew that they were going to come in ready to go. And then once we made the grand final, when it was against the Cowboys, I was probably, like, really confident in winning that. And then obviously with the game plan, the way it flowed, it was just like slow dominance from the start to the finish. So yeah, it was a good win.
Mate, I'd agree with that comment there you made about the 2017 being the best side. It's really too bad that they, you know, they came up against the Cowboys who had run out of gas. I mean, I think if you put that 2017 side in either of the 2016 or the 2018 grand final, I think they probably get the job done there.
Yeah, 100%. I think, even the 2016 side was really good, but the 2017 side was just special. And then coming off the grand final loss, I think they were just that little edgier, I guess. But yeah, big difference was, I guess they never had, those three teams never had the big three, you know, collectively. So 2017, they had it. 2016, there was no Slater. And then obviously Blake Green played 5'8 and Munster was at the back. 2018, no Cronk and Croft. But yeah, that 2017 side, I've had a lot of arguments with a friend of mine. I think from 2000 to 2020, I think the two of the better sides, I mean, I say two of the top five sides, and I'll let you have a say on that, I think were the 2017 Storm and the 2013 Roosters. I'd love to see those two go at it.
That would be one hell of a clash, wouldn't it? Because that 2013 side, some of the young talent they had mixed with the older blokes, they were unbelievable.
That was a good side. Like, I was just like, just off the top of my head, I was like, imagine Roger Sheck against Josh Adakar. Imagine Sonny Bill against Tohu Harris. Like, just small matchups like that would have been awesome.
Mate, I will never forget that 2017 grand final. I remember halfway through the year, as soon as the Clive Churchill medal markets opened, I had an absolute motzer on Cameron Smith, and I thought he had an absolute blinder in that game. I couldn't believe he didn't get it. I could not believe it.
Yeah, I think he got duped that one massively.
Fuck it, mate. I remember standing in that stadium with my mates, and they said, the Clive Churchill medalist, it's his second one. And I, you know, me being the fucking footy head I am, I think I was the only one in the fucking stadium that knew that Billy Slater already had one, and I just fell over. Yeah. I went, oh my God, you're kidding.
Yeah, no, I thought that was Cam's, 100% that was Cam's. He played awesome. Slater was good. I thought Cam just controlled the game a lot more. Yeah, I'm with you, mate. I thought Cam should have got that one.
I still can't believe he hasn't got a Clive Churchill. This won't shock you, but I've got a heap on him for Sunday too. So fingers crossed.
Sunday, yeah, I'm with you, mate. I think I've got a couple of hundred on him to win it. So I'm hoping he comes through.
Mate, one guy that you did mention there briefly was Cameron Munster, and I might have an unpopular opinion here, but I genuinely think he's a better fullback than he is 5'8", and he's probably the 100%. Best 5'8" in the world.
100%. That's what's scary is, he is arguably the best 5'8 in the comp, and he's not even a bloody 5'8. And I know you've I listened to your the Husey one. You did a Husey podcast this week, right?
Yep.
And I was going to pitch a question to you. Why Bellamy has transitioned like 4 to 5 great players from whatever they were to really good halves. So, like, you know, Cronk was like a dummy half / playing fullback.
Yep.
Turns him into one of the best halfbacks ever. He turns a freakish fullback, centre wing, into a really good 5'8", Greg Inglis. He does the same, obviously, for Munster, from a really good fullback to the best 5'8 in the comp, arguably. And now he's done it with Jerome Hughes, who's a really good fullback, and now he's a really good halfback. So that was another point I wanted to bring up with your other podcasts. It's unreal how many players he can turn from whatever they were to what he wants them to be.
Mate, he's sort of... It's sort of like when you take a second rower and you sort of plug them at centre and you sort of think, oh, you know, like, I can get by with that. It's a little bit more of an irrelevant position. He's doing it with the key positions on the field. He does it consistently and he gets results. And, I mean, you look over the last few years, like, I remember when Ricky Stewart took Jared Hayne and played him at 6 and everyone just went, what are you doing? Like, this isn't going to work. Yeah. He tried it for 2 or 3 weeks, then he pulled back on it. I mean, Jack Whiten's been a success now, but he tried this with Jack Whiten 2 or 3 years ago and it didn't work then either. Craig Bellamy, he just doesn't miss. He's incredible.
Yeah, and it's scary. Like, obviously, end of last year, the way he, I think he just did it a little too late. I reckon if he pulled the pin on Croft a little earlier, maybe the Hughes would have had a little more success. But I think it was better for it this year. He's obviously more seasoned and he's playing a lot better. But yeah, like you said, I think Munster's a really good 5'8", but he'd be a great fullback.
Mate, speaking of other fullbacks, I mean, I remember when Slater retired, and we'll get to that in a second, but you know, everyone sort of went, fuck, you know, they're losing the greatest fullback to ever play the game. And then you just have this list of about 8 blokes that are all first grade fullbacks. I mean, you had Munster in the building, you had Jerome Hughes, you know, you would later get Ryan Pappenhausen, Nico Hines, Scotty Drinkwater.
Yeah.
Unbelievable the way, and I mean, he had so many fullbacks that he had to turn one of them into a premier halfback and one of them into the best 5'8 in the game. It's unbelievable.
It is. I was big on Drinkwater. Like, I was like, nah, Drinkwater's going to get the one. And then obviously Hughesy kept getting it. And Hughesy played really, really well last year when he played fullback. But yeah, I'm like everyone else, man. I can't believe where Pappenhausen came from and what he is now. It's just unreal.
Mate, we've got a podcast dropping tomorrow where I go through the 2016 side and I talk about everyone that left, and then I go through all those players, and mate, the amount of holes they managed to fill, like essentially what they do is they get guys, they turn them into Origin or Test stars, then they let them go and they bring in another reserve grade or another guy that's unwanted by a club, and then he leaves 4 years later and he's a State of Origin player. He's a New Zealand Test forward. Like, they're just incredible the way they go through their system.
Yeah, 100%. I remember I was a big KP fan. I was a big Kevin Proctor fan. KP off Cooper Cronk was probably the best seven to, you know, second row combination for years.
Yep.
So when he was saying he was leaving, I had a few names that I thought would go, and I just remember that year when Felice Kafusi played, he was really like really, really aggressive but over the top, and he was getting a lot of penalties. And then when Bellamy kind of said, no, I'm sticking with this side 11, I wasn't sure if he would be able to fill the hole, and he did it perfectly. And then, yeah, from who else from that 16 side kind of left? You know, Blake Green left, so then he turned Munster into a really good six, and then obviously Slater came back at one. But yeah, it's unreal, mate. It's really good. It's really unreal what Bellamy's done with the club.
Mate, they win that 2017 grand final, and then we come into 2018, and this is where the Roosters start to emerge again. And of course, you meet them in the grand final, and for me, like, I'm a huge fan of both clubs. I just love championship teams and champion systems. Yeah. Like, I love the Patriots. I love what the All Blacks do. And these two teams, they are the two best systems. And it was, mate, it was my wet dream to see these two come together. And unfortunately for you guys, fuck, you came up against a good side that night. They I don't know what more you could have done.
I say to my best mate is a Roosters fan. And I always say to him, as soon as Cooper Cronk became a Rooster, we were never going to beat you guys in a big game, ever. Yep. It was essentially giving our assistant coach for the last 15 years and handing him to you guys with the whole playbook. And I just think he was the difference, right? I think we beat them, we probably played them about 5-6 times. We beat them twice in games that did not matter at all. And then when it came to the big games, he just outsmarted us. Just massively. And that's what frustrated me, is we just couldn't get past. Like, I think the Roosters don't have Cooper Cronk. I reckon the Storm say the Storm or the Roosters don't have Cooper Cronk. So the Roosters in 2018 had to keep Mitchell Pearce. I believe the Storm probably could have won that grand final. And then I reckon they probably could have won last year's one too. I just think that's how important Cronk was for the Roosters.
Mate, you know how highly I hold Cronk, and I back that in 100%. Yeah. I think if Cronk stayed, we're looking at a three-peat for the Melbourne Storm.
Yeah, 100%. That Roosters side in 2018, it was just an ambush, mate. I just remember watching it, and I was actually on Foxtel, whatever it was, and you can see me. I just had my head down, and I got sent that many Snapchats, mate, about just how depressed I looked. It was terrible. We just ran into an ambush, mate, and we weren't ready for it.
Mate, and my favourite argument that I get from people with Cooper Cronk is that, you know, he in that 2018 grand final, he didn't do anything. And I always think, mate, have a look at that Roosters side. They are star-studded every single position, and they still decided, nah, we need Cooper Cronk to be on the field to help us. The fact that they needed him out there says more than the fact that he was injured.
Yeah, 100%. It was just... I think it was just having him there. Like, he was just essentially a coach on the field. Like, he barely touched the ball, he barely tackled, but he just told, okay, Kiri, you got to do this, you got to do that. And he did it perfectly. It was like the perfect game plan.
It was like the under sixes when the trainer's pointing at you which way to go.
Yeah, essentially, that's what he was. And he got a grand final for it. So you can't hate it.
Now, mate, obviously at the end of that game, Billy Slater does retire, and it's a really sad way to end, in my opinion, the greatest fullback's career we have seen. What was the emotions around that night when Billy did retire?
It was sad. It was more like I kind of thought, I don't know how we would recover. The whole bus ride home, I just said to my mate, he just won, so he was in a good mood, and I just said, well, I don't know how we're going to recover from this. We lose Slater, obviously coming off a grand final loss, and then obviously 2019 comes up and we play really, really well. We unearth a new fullback, and it kind of just, as Bellamy does, he just finds ways to make it work.
And I remember watching that I think it was the prelim final last year? Yeah, the prelim final against the Roosters last year, and that was the game of the year.
That should have been the grand final. It had Josh Adakar not spilled his lollies against the Raiders when Bateman scored. We would have made it to the grand final, but honestly, man, I don't think my nerves could have handled that.
Well, mate, I think that's the biggest credit to the Roosters of 2019, that they managed to beat Melbourne and then they got up again to beat Canberra, because they had to play two grand finals in a row. It would have taken so much out of the tank.
Yes, especially when you get a six again call, go your way, mate.
Oh, fuck, don't start me. Do not start me.
I didn't, mate. I rewatched the grand final. I haven't watched. I was there. I was in the Roosters section. I hadn't rewatched it until probably a month ago. I forgot how important that call was. I couldn't fathom how bad that call was.
Yeah, well, yeah, shit happens. I still think Canberra had their opportunities to win that game and they didn't take it, to be honest with you. And I don't blame it solely on that game, on that moment. I mean, I remember the other moment where, you know, if Leilua draw and pass to Rapana, they score there, they blew that. They then had 10 minutes where Cooper Cronk was not on the field, and they didn't take advantage of it. So,
yeah.
I mean, I understand Canberra fans being upset, but I can't blame it on that, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, Cooper Cronk came back on, and they, you know, the Roosters, just for that one set of six, just went into top gear, and Canberra just couldn't keep up with them, in my opinion. But I can understand the argument. Now, tell me, mate, Jerome Hughes, you mentioned him a few times. I believe you got a few jerseys.
Yeah, so I just kind of went the bold move, mate, and I DM'd a few players and said, hey, look, I'm just a normal fan, just a normal bloke. Can I buy some stuff off you? And he replied. He was happy to reply, and he sent me, like, all these personal photos and stuff he had, and then we kind of started talking. I paid for the jerseys, he sent them to me, and he follows me now, mate, so I reckon we're best mates going off of that.
How good's that?
Yeah, I know. So sometimes I'll just message him, maybe game day, and just say, hey, you know, good luck, bro. And he always replied to me, which is really, I think it's really cool. Like, considering he's a professional athlete, I think it's awesome.
Mate, he's part of the 4-point collectibles mob. Have you had a look at their stuff at all with their cards breaks?
So I always message him and I say, bro, you need to fill me in with, like, I don't understand it. I don't understand it at all. And he always says, look, it's really hard to like kind of explain. And I've just given up at that, mate. I really don't understand what they do. But I think it's cool. I think whatever they're doing, it's cool.
Fuck, it's hard to explain. It's bloody expensive. It is a costly habit, trust me. Avoid as much as you can.
Like it.
Oh, mate, it's astronomical. Like, some of the cards they've pulled, and like Ice and Corey Norman and them, some of the Corey Norman's pulled a card like 100K or something. It's fucking ridiculous.
So that card is worth 100K.
Oh, something ridiculous. I'm not sure if it's 100K, but it's something ridiculous. It's a Zion Williamson rookie card, I believe. So it's just worth an astronomical amount, you know. And it's, as they all say, it's so typical that bloody Corey Norman gets it.
Yeah, Corey Norman picks it up. Yeah, no, I've asked him, like, can you explain it to me? And he's like, bro, honestly, it's just really hard to explain. And then I'm like, yeah, okay, that's it. That's there goes my interest, mate.
Yeah, no, and you've saved about 10 grand, trust me. Yeah, mate, you told me before we started your favourite player. Now, I straight away said, oh, Cameron Smith, and you said, no, I've got my favourite. Who is it?
My favourite Storm player has always been Jesse Bromwich. I do remember, now that I've said it, in 2000, they had like something on Facebook, so it was like, type in your number and a Melbourne Storm player will call you and talking to you about your membership options. So I put my number in, and then I got a call from Jesse Bromwich, and then from then onwards, I've always had like a liking to him. And then he obviously 2013, 2014, I think 2015, he wins three Player of the Year awards with Melbourne, and he was on crazy form. So I've just always been a Bromwich fan. He's like the glue for our forward pack. Just does all the work that you kind of need from a player. And I like the way he kind of leads. He's real quiet, but kind of leads by his actions. I like that kind of style.
Unfortunately for Jesse, he's kind of just set the bar too high for himself. I mean, we sort of don't look at Jesse Bromwich and think he's got a massive ceiling, because just every week he's just an 8 out of 10. Like, a bad game might be a 7 out of 10. He's just a freak.
Yeah, he's very steady. He's done that he's been starting since 2011. So for about 9 years, he's just done the same thing every week. And he's probably my favourite just due to the way he plays. It's just kind of, you know, head down, ass up, top of workload, and he just keeps producing every week. So yeah, I can't go past Big Brom.
Mate, tell me what happens this Sunday.
So, all right, prior to the Panthers winning, this is how I looked at it. I kind of, analytical side, had the Rabbitohs gone through, I think it would have been perfect 2017, where a team from outside of the five just went on a hot streak, and then that would have came to us, and I think the hot streak would have ended. So the Cowboys, we spoke about that before.
Yep.
Panthers, if the Panthers got through, it reminds me, and it still does now that it's kind of happened. It reminds me of 2012, where the Doggies were on this hot form. They had Ben Barber, Nathan Cleary, who Nathan Cleary probably should have won the Dally M last night, but they had the Dally M player, and it was just bulldog mania all over Sydney. Everyone discredited the Storm, but they came up with a perfect game plan. High kicks, pressured the fullback, chase really hard, kick chase is really good. I think it's going to be like that. I think everyone's riding off the Storm purely because of the 17 win streak, and because of, you know, I don't know. I don't even know why they're riding us off, but I think we get over in a tight one. And I think it's going to be exactly like 2012 grand final. I think it's going to be tight, but I think we should win by, I'm going to say, 8 to 10 points.
If I was you, I'd be absolutely loving what's happening this week. Everyone's talking about the Panthers. Social media is just all these blokes dancing around and, you know, throwing their hands up, doing all these signals and everything. And your Melbourne Storm side, they're just sitting up there, just taking it easy. No one's talking about them. If anyone's talking about Melbourne, they're talking about why Cameron Smith hasn't retired. I'm confident Cameron Smith knows exactly what he's doing. He refused to say he's retiring, but he did the lap of honour. He got chaired off, and then he played a straight bat. Mate, I'm confident in his mind he's going, you know what, I'm going to let the media talk about me this week, and my other 16 blokes can just get ready for war.
That's 100%. Like, the media people on after the Raiders game, like, it was clear as day he was going to retire. Clear as day. Like, and the way he just kept denying it, I think it's a smart move. I think all the pressure was on Penrith. First place, 17 wins in a row. They probably should have had the Dally M medal winner. And then our guys are just chilling up in the Sunshine Coast. I think they get much media up there. Not about NRL anyway. So I think the situation is prime for us. And then obviously we've got, if Cam's retiring, they've got something to play for. And then they've obviously got Victoria to play for. I think that's a big underlying factor that no one's really mentioned.
Yeah, for sure, mate. It's got to be pushing them big time, I think.
Yeah, I think a lot of these boys are really, really digging in deep for Victoria, and I don't think a lot of the city people are thinking about that. I think it's just more, you know, Melbourne against Penrith. But I think Melbourne really want to play for Victoria, especially, you know, the Vixens just won the netball, so that's, you know, the netball's down in Victoria now. The AFL is going to be a Victorian side, so I reckon the Storm will want to make it a clean sweep with all the major sports in Australia.
Mate, obviously this week, you know, if Melbourne Storm do win, more than likely, although history's proven me wrong before, that the Clive Churchill medalist will come from Melbourne. And, you know, obviously it's Cameron Smith's last game, and we've both mentioned him. We both got a bit of money on him. But the bloke that I've said all season will win the Clive Churchill, and I just think he's ready to explode on the biggest stage, is Cameron Munster. I think he's just been floating along waiting for a big game to come along, and I cannot wait to watch Munster in this grand final. I mean, you saw him in the, against the Roosters in, was it 2018, where he just had the complete brain explosion, and I think he's just been waiting for another grand final to set it alight, and I can't wait.
Yeah, I watched the he did an interview on NRL.com, and he essentially just talks about how much hate he copped after the 2018 grand final, and he just said, look, I don't care, I'm ready to, you know, I want to perform in big games. And he essentially has, like, 2016 grand final, he was really good for us. Obviously, 2018 grand final, he had a few mind, brain explosions. But I can see Cam winning it, Cameron Munster. He'd be the only person that could steal it off Cam, I think. I think to make the fairy tale not happen with Cam Smith winning the club Churchill, it's going to have to take, like, a really, really good performance to steal it off him. And I think Munster's that cheeky that he can do it. He could possibly snag it off him.
He's just got X Factor. Fuck. He's just got X Factor written across his forehead, doesn't he?
Yeah. And he's just fearless. Like, he just doesn't. He really doesn't care. Like, when he got stuck at fullback last year for Queensland, he's just fearless, mate. He really doesn't give a shit. And he just wants to win. And I think he had the game of his life last week. And I think it's going to be the other half's turn this week.
And I mean, the scariest thing about Munster for me is, and he especially showed it in that Origin game, you know, like all the greats, like, you know, I remember watching Darren Lockyer and Thurston and Joey and Freddie, and they've all got time. And it just, when they get the ball, everything just slows down around them. And Munster, no one has more time in rugby league than Cameron Munster at the moment.
Yeah, 100%. And yeah, it's 100% true, because when he drifts out to the left side, it's kind of like Hayne in 09. It's just like, he waits for people to come to him, or he's got enough time that he can kind of dance around and either put in a kick for Fox or put in a short ball for Kenny Bromwich. Yeah, it's unreal. I reckon it's his week this week.
I can't remember who the game was against, mate, but it was a couple of weeks ago and they were playing up at the Sunshine Coast. It might have been against the Cowboys, and he scooted from his tram line 10 metres out and he scored under the sticks, and he essentially went untouched. He just ran 25 metres across field and everyone was just flat-footed. He's just got something that other guys don't.
Yeah, and he's got a lot of try like that, where he kind of, this nothing happened, and he kind of just danced around, and then just a quick left foot step, and he's really strong. I don't think the first tackler ever gets him. He can always fend off the first tackler. So if you're not going in with a person with you, you're in big trouble.
Big trouble, mate.
I think he can do that this week.
For sure. I really like him for the Clive this week. I think he's going to really explode. Willie, mate, I really appreciate your time, mate. Fan is short for fanatic, and I've known for some time you're a fanatic, and tonight just proved it, mate. I love the passion you've got for your Melbourne Storm, and I really hope for you and for my bank account they lift the trophy on Sunday, brother.
Mate, you know what? And I can honestly say you are probably the only person, all these other pages are full of shit. You're the only person who said from the start the Melbourne Storm are going to win it this year. And you've never detracted from your statement.
Remember when everyone told us Parramatta was going to win it? Please.
Oh, mate. Yeah, you know who said that? Bloody Clarkey, the idiot.
Now, you've had a few run-ins with Clarkey, haven't you?
Yeah, he's an absolute tosser, mate. he said Parramatta, 100% sure thing. Now that Parramatta's out, he's trying to say, oh, the second team I always had with Melbourne. You never. Your page was the only page that gave us a chance this year, 100%.
Mate, it looked like a Parramatta fan club over there for a while from what I gathered. Oh, but
ridiculous.
No, mate, I'm glad your team's come through for both of us, and I think they're going to get a win on Sunday. So fingers crossed, mate, they get it done for you.
I'm sorry, mate. I'm still scarred from 2018, mate. So I need a grand final.
Thanks for your time, brother.
Thank you, brother.